This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue along on a Football Monday, glad you could be with us. Monday Night Football tonight, it is Eagles on the road to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. Both teams at 2-0. And then Cincinnati at 0-2 will host the Rams, a rematch of Super Bowl 56. Joe Burrow still dealing with like a hobbling calf injury. We'll see how that goes. So yesterday, week three, he may not play tonight. And if I were the Bengals, I wouldn't play him. Yeah. I don't care if I start 0-3. With Joe Burrow, I can get right back into a race for anything. And with Joe Burrow, I can win on the road in the playoffs because he does it all the time. So I would just be I would be concerned. But he's questionable, not doubtful, which is always a good little sign. But I don't know. I wouldn't do it. He did take first team reps on Sunday, but I wouldn't play him. I'd be careful. Don't want to lose out on the season. By the way, we're seeing quarterbacks drop like flies, haven't we?
Yes, we
have. This season, Anthony Richardson had a concussion, so Gardner Minshew played yesterday. Goodness, Bryce Young was out.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew didn't do too bad.
No, he didn't do bad. They won.
I think the highlight that everyone's going to point to is that he had his Dan Orlovsky moment.
Oh, that's right, when he stepped out of bounds.
Stepped out of bounds.
You got to know where that line is, kids, otherwise it's a safety.
Creeps up on you.
It does. It creeps up on you. You got to be careful.
No, but the quarterbacks are dropping, but I was pleased with how the young quarterbacks played.
C.J. Stroud was great.
He did. He's figuring this game out.
He is great. People are like thankful they didn't get the number one overall pick. They might have taken Bryce Young based on some evaluation.
Oh, yeah.
And they ended up with, hey, maybe we did end up with the best quarterback in the draft. By the way, everyone's buzzing about Matt Gay. He's the kicker for the Colts. So he had a bunch of field goals yesterday, including one in overtime. But he had four of them plus 50 yards from the fourth quarter in or something third quarter in.
There's two sides of this coin, right?
Right.
Hey, great on the kicker. I'm a fan of kickers. I'm glad that he got four 50-yard field goals. Man, that's impressive. The other side of it is that the Colts couldn't get their offense closer.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't help out the kicker.
Just kept running into that wall every single time. Boom, there it is.
By the way, a game that features Justin Tucker, Matt Gay is the kicker we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, Justin Tucker missed a close one.
He missed a 61-yarder, and it just came up short. Gay hit one from 53 yards out to win it. He had a 53-yarder with a minute remaining that tied it. He had a 53-yarder in the fourth quarter early and then a 54-yarder in the third quarter. So he had four field goals of over 50 yards in the second half plus overtime to help the Colts win and hand the Ravens their first loss of the season. And now the Colts are 2-1, better record than the woeful Tennessee Titans who just puked up on themselves in Cleveland against the Browns.
Yeah, that made me feel better.
Yeah.
Knowing that, that team that did that against a quarterback who, doesn't look like Deshaun Watson, sometimes he looks good, sometimes he looks terrible. But it made me feel better that the Tennessee Titans played like that when they beat me last week.
I hate to admit this. Yeah, right, exactly. The Titans have had two games in which they were held to field goals. That's it. This one was just a field goal. But they had five against New Orleans in a loss. They had one yesterday, which just held to 3 points. That's it. This team stinks.
And that's why, I look at that. And then I see the way the Chargers allowed them to play.
Right.
That's how I look at it now. It's not, the Titans just didn't have a bad week one or, getting the rust worked off and came in week two ready to play. That's who the Titans are. And the Chargers allowed them to play like that in week two. And then, this is going to be a long season. That's all I know.
I know.
All Charger fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. This is just going to be a really, really long season.
As for Cleveland, Deshaun Watson was 27 of 33 for 289 and two touchdowns. It's a very good game. Kimberly Martin of ESPN asked him after the game, when your defense holds a team to 3 points, how easy is it for you? I was hoping he would say, it's impossible. You don't have any idea how difficult it is when my defense holds a team to 3 points. Yeah, it's really easy. But that's going to be, their defense. Yeah, Titans aren't a good team. I don't think they're gonna. But they turn it around. Yeah, but there's a lot of issues on Tennessee. But they were supposed to be a team kind of kicking around Jacksonville for the lead. Is it, if I'm not mistaken, is that lead now belong to the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, that's a great question.
Is that where we're at now? Or I know it's early. Believe me, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But early on, your leader is the Colts. They're 2-1. That's right. So the Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans all are 1-2. But the Texans have the game in hand over Jacksonville. Early, I get it. But believe me, if you're Houston, take what you can get.
That's right.
Take what you can get. So the Bears and the Broncos are going to meet next weekend. Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm dialing in that game.
Can't wait to see that one. Boy, Sean Payton, I'm sorry, but is he running himself out of town already? Is he getting to a point now where it's like, no, you're supposed to save us from him, the quarterback. The quarterback wasn't the problem.
Well, I mean,
coaching staff was the problem.
Right, but is the quarterback the problem?
The quarterback isn't the problem. Not yesterday? No. You can't ask him to score 71 points.
No, that's true.
And the defense, like I was saying, look, in a game where it's like 35, yeah, you need the quarterback to step up. But when they're scoring 10 touchdowns, quarterback, like Russell Wilson's stats were fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, what am I supposed to do? Every time we go out there, there's another touchdown on the board. You can't get them to punt? Like, you can't give me the you can't turn the ball over?
Not once.
Like, put me in a position where I'm competing in the football game. In a blink of an eye, like, what am I supposed to do? Every time they're on the field, they're scoring a 62-yard touchdown.
On one play.
On one play. And then I come back out, and now instead of trailing 7-0, I'm trailing 14-0. Then I score, and it's 21-7, and it just snowballs after that. No, the problem was Vance Joseph in this defense, which was supposed to be something that was supposed to be of a strong point of the Broncos, was yet last year they actually had a really good defense, but their offense was so bad, was pathetic. It was scoring 14 points a game. It was one of the lowest offenses in the country, in the NFL. And their defense was like, okay, look, if we can just get the offense clicking, we'll be fine. Well, the first two games actually were fine for the defense. The defense wasn't bad, right? It was a point differential of 1 against the Raiders. It was a point differential of 2 against the Washington Commanders. Now, in that game, that was a little combination of Russell Wilson not keeping the gas pedal down to the floor and the defense sacrificing a lot of points when they were up by, you know, up 21-3. This game, they give up 70. I mean, 70. Nuts. But again, if you're Sean Payton, I'm sorry. Look, the coaches have a thing in them. Some of them love to coach, and they want to do it until they can't do it anymore, and they literally cannot do it anymore. There's something inside of them that wants to do it. But remember John Gruden? Remember he was out of the game for a long time, and he was broadcasting, and you were like, why isn't he taking this job? Why doesn't he want the Tennessee job? Why doesn't he want this job? Yep. Why doesn't he want that job? He's up for every job, and he kept saying, nope, Monday Night Football is it. Monday Night Football is it. Monday Night Football is it. There's something about coaching that's addicting, but then he couldn't resist it any longer. He had to jump back into it. John Madden never went back into it. John Madden retired very early in his life.
Bill Cowher.
In his 30s. Bill Cowher never jumped back into it.
I thought for sure Bill Cowher, because he retired so young, and I thought for sure, it was like, oh, he's going to be back.
Same thing with John Madden. When John Madden retired, he was in his late 30s.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, you still got a lifetime ahead of you.
Well, because for us, I mean, most coaches, and we could even go across the league right now, a lot of them are in their 60s.
Yeah.
So why can't they keep coaching?
Right. So let's say you're 37 and 38 and you retire like Sean McVay. Let's say he gets to that point where he retires. Who's to say when he's 50 years old, he's going to go, you know, I really miss doing that. I got my kids, or I don't have kids, whatever it is. My family, I'm at a better position than I was. John Madden said, listen, I can't do this. My kids, I got to do something else. Broadcasting still included travel, but it didn't include, you know, 20 hours a day in an office, and he wanted to be around his children. But he even admitted as he got older, he's like, when my kids got older, they didn't want to hang out with dad anymore. So I really needed to find something that occupied my time. So I can see Sean Payton. He leaves the Saints, no longer has Drew Brees. I get it. Disappears. Starts talking broadcasting. Maybe he'll be a broadcaster. He had to sit out a year, remember? Because when he retired, he was still under contract with the Saints.
Right.
So he couldn't jump to the Cowboys or anything else. Like, if there was an opening, like people thought he was going to.
Everyone
had him pegged for the Cowboys job. Everyone said Jerry's going to fire Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton, his guy, is going to take over that job. So the Broncos wanted Sean Payton, had to give up a pick or something for him. Payton gets back in and he's on a team. Now here's the thing: it's attractive when the team is bad and they're looking for a savior. You have this personality where you could be the guy that turns this thing around.
And you got nice pieces there.
You go in there.
You build on.
Look, maybe Russell Wilson's guy. Maybe he's not. But you know what? I can show. No, if I do enough, people will trust me, and more than anybody else. This takes that 5 steps backwards. He now owns. He is the head coach of a team that gave up 70 points in a National Football League game. That's nuts. That Sean Payton would jump in 3 games into this opportunity to help change this organization around. And if you're a Broncos fan and you've put up with 7 years of just complete and utter failure of finding the right quarterback after Peyton Manning, you now landed the most points ever given up since the merger of the AFL and the NFL. In 2023, when coaches don't coach for that. In a time where you go, now let's call off the dogs. We're up 56 to whatever. Call it off. Yeah, crazy. So that to me, and as I said this in hour one, that to me was the biggest surprise. Because listen, I get an Arizona will beat a Dallas. I've seen many, many things like that. But you do not see teams score 70 points. And it's got to be, that flight must have been horrible to be on that plane all the way
home.
So
quiet.
We will continue looking at week number 3 in the National Football League, including tonight's Monday night games. So we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, Bengals-Rams tonight. That is right after, well, not right after, but it kicks off an hour after Eagles-Buccaneers. Take your pick, kids. 2-0 Eagles, 2-0 Buccaneers, 1-1 Rams, 0-2 Bengals. There's your Monday Night Football doubleheader.
All right. Yeah. I know we talked about this last week. Right. I mean, we're both fans of 2 games, but they need to separate the...
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind the doubleheader. I just, yeah. I don't like... them. I don't like watching 2 games at once.
Right.
On a Monday night. Listen, I gotta put up with watching Red Zone and a million different things on Sunday. I don't need 2 TVs going on to figure out these games. Like, here's the dilemma, right? Because maybe you don't get a doubleheader that's like out of this world awesome. But let's say last night I get Steelers Raiders. Let's just say that was the Monday night game that was on the doubleheader. But the first game was like Eagles 49ers, right?
Yeah.
Or Chiefs Dolphins. Now, I'm a Steeler fan. I want to watch my team, and I want to watch my team every play as much as I can. When they're on national TV, I want to watch every play. But how do I go, I can't watch a great matchup on the flip side? I want to be with my team. How do I watch both? Like, I get it. You can set up 2 TVs. I'm just not a big... I'm not setting up... Like, I see all these people set up their man caves with 15 different screens. I'm not doing that. I'm not lugging a TV into the media room of my house, my new bonus room. I'm not doing that. I'm not setting up another TV and another system. No.
And I'm not watching the TV and watching one on my phone.
Right, right. I'm not doing that either.
I'm not doing that either. Or watching it on my laptop or whatever it might be. I'm not... I want to focus in on one game and just remain focused on one game.
So Monday nights, I like to sit on one game. If the game's awful, I'll be like, all right, this game stinks. Okay, whatever. Thursday night game, same thing. But yeah, if you're a fan, if you're a fan of the Buccaneers, but let's say Rams Bengals was like, yeah, all right, man, this is great Monday night matchup. That's why I don't think they do it late in the season. Like, you aren't going to see a doubleheader on like week 12 where you're like, oh my God, we have a game of the ages. Like, I can remember in the 90s, in the early 90s, both the Giants and the 49ers were undefeated. And both of them was late in the season. It was like week 12, I think, or something like that. They were both like 11-0. And they were scheduled to play on Monday Night Football, like week 13. Then they both lost the week prior to their matchup. But still, you got to that matchup. It was like, this is the Monday night game you don't want to miss. This is the best. But, you know, if you had that where you were like, hey, these are two juggernauts facing off against each other. We actually predicted it right when we made the Monday night schedule. This actually did work where the two teams were as good as advertised. Oh, and by the way, we're throwing another game at you that might not be as good. But if you're a fan of that of those teams, you don't get to watch your team in full and be part of the national obsession with the other game. That's the one thing social media has got us. We all now know we're all watching the same thing. If you're on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. What'd you think of Jordan Love over the weekend? That was three quarters of nothing, followed by 18 points of fourth quarter fun.
Is that Jordan Love or is that Saints collapse?
That was Derek Carr being out of the game, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess, is Derek Carr that good? I know you're not a fan of Derek Carr.
What am I going to do? How do I manage this conundrum? I don't care about Derek Carr, and yet I'm going to have to acknowledge that maybe the Saints are in trouble without him.
Saints need him.
Saints actually may need him. I want to make it clear. I don't hate Derek Carr. I don't dislike him. I thought he was a summer of nonsense. Does that make – and it's not his fault.
No, it wasn't.
It was a summer of nonsense where – again, the Jets said they could win a Super Bowl with them, but they didn't quite want him. And then he went to the Saints, and everybody treated him and Aaron Rodgers as like the same thing. Aaron Rodgers is on a new team, and so is Derek Carr. As if this was an equal thing. Listen, we should be concerned about.
Had the Jets been true to their word, we may not even talk about how terrible Zach Wilson was yesterday.
Right? Oh no, no doubt.
Because Derek Carr would still be playing.
Right.
And Derek Carr would be the quarterback. And I don't know if we'd be saying, oh, the Jets, you know, hey, maybe they're kind of a sexy pick for the Super Bowl before the season started. We may not have been talking about that, but, you know, we probably would be talking about how Derek Carr and the Jets got the monkey off their back and finally beat the Patriots.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, you got to go back to 2015, the last time the Jets beat New England.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. They play twice a year, and the Jets cannot beat New England.
Yeah. Listen, I get it during the early 2000s. I mean,
no doubt.
But the last 15 years, I mean, the Patriots haven't really been the Patriots in the last 3 years.
By the way, am I wrong about the Bills? Have they polished things up a little bit, or are the Commanders just an awful team that deserves our...
How come nobody asked Josh Allen when your team does that?
That's a good point.
You know, when your defense does that, does it make the game easier?
No, that's a very good point. Did they ask Josh Allen if it was easy for him to play in an offense where the other team has only 3 points?
I mean, apparently three.
Did they ask him?
I think, what's his name? Who's the quarterback for the Commanders again?
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell. I think he just got sacked again.
Yeah. Yeah, did they ask him that sort of obvious question? How easy is it to play quarterback when your team gives up 3 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's Josh Allen. Is it easier to hit Gabe Davis for a touchdown when you know you're up 16-0 at halftime?
Do things kind of open up a little bit? Because the defense is tired because they're constantly on the field because the Bills kept the Bills had five turnovers, six turnovers. Yeah,
do you have a sense of the other team has a sense of urgency? Do you take advantage of that? Yeah, no, nobody's asking them that.
No,
Seahawks Panthers, Seahawks won.
Yep.
Yeah, that was Andy Dalton
was that
playing
the most,
for Carolina.
Unknown game happening.
Yes, I'm gonna make that point. That's a very good point. So that game was going on at the same time that Taylor Swift was screaming her lungs out for her new boyfriend.
Yep.
And Dak Prescott was throwing yet another red zone interception.
Yeah.
And so you had those two games going on
and getting beat by a rocket scientist.
Yeah. Getting beat by a rocket scientist. Yes. Beat by a rocket scientist. A future NASA engineer, and Josh Dobbs.
When he retires, he's going to be like, you know what? I think I'll build space shuttles.
For
now.
Those of you who think we're being sarcastic, because you don't know, Josh Dobbs graduated from the University of Tennessee with an aerospace engineering degree. He started for the Tennessee Volunteers in the SEC and managed to get an aerospace engineering degree from the university.
Tony, you know how common those are?
Yeah, right? I mean, they give them out. Yeah.
That's like, you know, I mean, that's, they just give it to you at the end of the time. It's like, oh, what'd you want to be? Yes, here's your aerospace engineering degree. No problem.
Here's your certificate for participation.
How do you do that in play football?
That's nuts. That's nuts. When Teresa Walker told us that last year, that's something I never forgot.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, hold on. Let me look that up. Oh, my God, he did. So when we say, I want to make this clear. Sometimes we'll say somebody's like a genius when we're kidding that they might be dumb. He is a genius.
Yes.
Josh Dobbs is a genius. And so Dak Prescott's throwing interceptions to open Arizona Cardinals players guarding no one. And Travis Kelce's catching touchdowns in front of his new girlfriend. And meanwhile, the Seahawks and the Panthers had an awesome back and forth game in Seattle.
Yeah.
That resulted in the Seahawks winning. That was actually fun to watch and go back and forth with.
And no one would get to see it.
And no one cared. That's right. No one was caring.
On my TV, it was Cowboys Cardinals.
Yep.
Now, I know I live in Texas, but I'm going to assume everyone was watching Cowboys Cardinals.
Yeah. I got Cowboys Cardinals later.
Yeah. It's because it's the Cowboys. And we're, you know what it is with the Cowboys? It's the fact, you know, I mean, this is the first year where it didn't happen, and probably a good thing because the two teams stink. But it was, you know, ESPN always shoving Sunday Night Baseball featuring the Yankees versus Red Sox down our throats.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like they're doing with the Cowboys, to the point where we're going to start hating them. It's like, I don't care.
Well, we haven't already reached that point.
Well, we have, but I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, I don't need to see Cowboys Cardinals.
No, they probably could. Well, it depends. Who had the Panthers Seahawks game? Was that Fox too, or did CBS grab that one? So it was only a couple of late night games. I think there were only three.
I was going to assume that.
So if there's only one place you could switch.
Yeah, I was going to assume that since it's two NFC teams, it's going to be Fox.
Well, those days are over.
Yeah, that's true.
This year they ended
that. You know, old habits die hard.
Yeah, I know. I fall in the same trap. Yeah.
I don't know who had it.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys-Cardinals was a close game, but Panthers-Seahawks was fun, but it was, you know.
And I'll give it up to that it was, you know, you didn't think that was going to happen.
Right.
I think that was the biggest telltale.
They turned over the ball twice in the red zone. Yikes. That's ultimately not that surprising, because you go, all right, yep, I knew the other shoe was going to drop at some point. Can't be fun forever. And then, of course, last night, the Steelers eked out a win against the Raiders when McDaniels decided he didn't trust his quarterback enough to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion, so he kicked a field goal, so he would need a touchdown and two-point conversion still. Or, well, at least a touchdown. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. And again, yesterday with Taylor Swift in attendance, the Chiefs rolled past the Bears. You got to show off for the girlfriend, right?
I think that's how we got to talk all the time. I wonder how much Kansas City Sports Radio is talking Taylor Swift today.
Yeah, I know.
Because the game was kind of boring, let's be honest.
Okay, this is what I'm wondering. Okay,
is she still in Kansas City, by the way?
These celebrity things don't usually last, right? But is she going to be like a consistent presence when she's not doing other things?
Is it, is it going to be Kelce and Swifty? Like Tom and Giselle?
And they're like, no photos, please. No photos when they go out.
Right.
Is that going to be this? Is it going to, if they go to the Super Bowl, is she going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Annoying everybody.
Listen, you know what? I hope so.
Why not?
Because, you know, I mean, Verlander travels around Houston with Kate Upton on his arm.
Why not? Yeah.
Not a bad scenario if you run into them out in public.
But I have a question. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift other than her music.
Is there anything else about her?
Right. But here's my point. She has all these songs about breakups.
Right.
Are they really the guy? Is there a club of men who are like, yeah, you don't understand the level of crazy that she brings to a relationship? I'm not accusing her of that.
Okay, you know what? I think we're going to find out regardless. Because right. Travis Kelce isn't one to, you know, shy away from it, unless there is like some sort of contract that they signed beforehand and say, you may not talk about this because it might hurt the other person's brand.
Exactly.
But if there wasn't any deal signed like that, I could see that this thing goes sour. And I'm not wishing for it. I hope you crazy kids find true happiness with each other. But if this thing doesn't go sour, I think we will find out all the reasons why from Travis.
I think one of the greatest lines I ever heard about Justin Timberlake, I think I want to credit Bill Simmons with this, but I'm not sure. It might have been somebody else. Was Justin Timberlake sold the Britney Spears stock way before anybody else. Right?
Yes.
Like, everyone was like enamored with her and the videos, and she looked hot. And she had the schoolgirl outfit, and then she did one where she had the snake, and oh my god, she was the hottest thing.
And they were the perfect couple.
But he was like, no, you trust me? No,
yeah, there was something off.
Something off.
You think he ever sat back and went, man, I should have went for the other Mouseketeer, Christina?
Maybe. I don't know. Jessica Biel seems pretty. You know, his wife is pretty.
Yeah, that's actually not too bad.
So Scott Baio was on Howard Stern one time, and Stern asked him about Pamela Anderson, and he has a very famous quote about this. You know, how do you dump Pamela Anderson? Baio said, I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but in a nutshell, he said, no matter how beautiful a woman is, there's a guy out there that is sick of her. Beep, and that's true.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering. She can't be this unlucky where she's in all these relationships and they all fail and somehow it's their fault. Like, what is Travis Kelce walking into in this relationship where there's probably 6, 7, 8 guys who are like, you'll see, you will see, and you won't like it. You won't like it. There'll be the 3 a.m. phone calls crying where she's like, I just thought you weren't home and blah, blah. Yeah, you watch. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what's funny is that there is a complete list. There's somebody put together a timeline of all the boyfriends that she's had.
This is what Travis Kelce's up against.
Yeah, I mean, so is he not friends with, say, like John Mayer? Jake Gyllenhaal? Can one of those guys reach out and just say, hey, bud, you know, I just wanted to let you know, just on the up and up.
I got an opportunity here to date the biggest pop star in the world, but you did too.
By a wide margin.
What does this mean? How does this go down? Yeah. Because here is the problem. Now we're not going to be able to go through this entire NFL season without this popping up all the time. Right? All the time. So she's done touring. So now she gets a tour with the Chiefs. Is that what we're going to do?
Is she done touring?
I don't know. Is she? I don't know.
God.
I don't know. The movie's coming out in October of the tour. I think she probably wrapped it up. So now she's going to follow him around, cheer him in the press box.
If you had to guess, since Taylor Swift has become popular, how many boyfriends has she had?
6 or 7?
17.
What? Okay, there's a common denominator I want to know about now.
I mean, some of them don't. I don't know if they count because it was early on, but there is a lot of famous people, famous names on here.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Harry Styles.
She's a beautiful girl. I mean, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. So
they're very successful.
Very successful. So the attraction is there. I get it. But holy man, Harry Styles. Didn't he just become famous like 10 minutes ago? How long has he been around?
Harry Styles?
6 or 7 years?
Well, he's been around for a while, yeah.
Has he?
That's One Direction, Harry Styles.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Taylor.
He won like a contest, though, and then he got into One Direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
How do I know this stuff?
Taylor Lautner?
Have kids. Taylor Lautner from that vampire movie?
Yep.
He dated Taylor Swift?
He's an ex. Corey Monteith, you may not recognize the name, but he was part of
Glee. Passed away.
Yeah.
He just passed away.
Maybe that was Taylor's fault. I don't know.
Oh, boy. So Travis Kelce's in this club?
Travis Kelce is now part of this
club. He's now part of this celebrity club that is dating Taylor Swift. Listen, I got to be honest with you, man. This is really amazing.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay, so let's evaluate this really quick.
Hold on. Before you jump into your thing. Jake Gyllenhaal, I guess there's, I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs are all rumored to be about him.
Oh, see, there you go.
And the main song that everyone has heard heard probably is We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is
about
Jake.
And I'm sure he's like, yeah, I know, I told you that.
See, this is great. I mean, this not only do they have all the lists of the boyfriends, but they have the list of the songs. Like, she she dated John Mayer, and she literally has a song called Dear John.
So you better be careful, Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Be careful. You are going to be a song soon.
No, every single one. Boyfriend that she's had has a song about her.
Again, there is a side of the, I can't believe I'm breaking down the marketing of Taylor Swift, but this is what the NFL has forced me to do, unfortunately. I got to look out for the leading tight end in the NFL, right? It's like, if she writes a song that has Pat Freiermuth's name in it, I will go crazy. What rhymes with Freiermuth? Because she can angle the dumping of Travis Kelce and teasing that she's going to date Pat Freiermuth if she wants a tight end in the NFL. Right? That's what's happening here. So Taylor Swift is doing one or two things at 33, 34 years old. She's either acting like a teenage girl because that's her audience, or this is how she really feels at 33, 34 years old, like a teenage girl. It's either one or the other. So which is it? Because if I was her, of course I'd be like, I break up with a guy, I write a song about it. Wouldn't you do that if you were 16?
Of course.
The people I'm selling albums to, that's what they would do. They'd get in their journals. They'd write about it. All right, so I'm still playing that character to my audience. Because they're buying all my tickets to my concerts and all my downloading all my music.
Here we go. I just sent you an email, right?
Okay, now you're going too far.
No, I did. Because in this has a table of exes, and it's kind of the reasons why they broke up or what happened.
All right. There's a Swiftpedia website?
Of course there is.
Where's Travis Kelce on this one now?
Well, he's not an ex.
He's not an ex.
He's not an ex. This is all just all right. Ex-boyfriends.
She did Tom Hiddleston?
I mean, but scroll down to the table of exes.
Table of exes.
This is what's fascinating. I mean, under each of their names, like I said, by every single name is a song title
is
inspired by them. But a table of exes kind of gets you the synopsis. It's the Cliff Notes version, really.
Okay. That works.
So
here's my question. She's one of the biggest iconic international pop stars in the world, right? She can't go to Bangladesh without being mobbed. Okay?
Right.
So on a scale, 2-time Super Bowl champion Travis Kelce, are they equal?
Ooh.
Are they on the same scale, at least in the United States? I get it. If they went to Bolivia, the scale would be out of whack. But in the United States, are they on equal? Because here's the problem when you're an athlete, okay? Is that when you're an athlete, Taylor Swift goes to L.A., she sells out SoFi Stadium. She goes to Miami, she sells out Hard Rock Stadium. She goes to Nashville, sells out Nissan Stadium. Right? In seconds.
And so much
she stands in front of the crowd, this adoring, adoring crowd. If you're Travis Kelce, you're not going to city to city to city where people are lined up like at your hotel, like they have to shut down streets because you're in town. They're like booing you. They don't like you. They probably don't even care about you.
You're not having Congress rewrite laws.
Right.
Because, you know, the ticket venue site crashed.
So he basically is dating way up. Way, way up.
Look, she broke up with the last boyfriend to go on tour.
You took a shot and you won, Travis Kelce. Now sell us more soup.
Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Hit us up there and your thoughts on Week 3 in the NFL as we were talking about the Dallas-Arizona game that was later in the afternoon yesterday as the Cowboys fall to 2-1. You know what? I love the NFL, and I've said this before, so I'm repeating myself and I get it, but this is why I love the NFL so much is that the NFL every year gives you all the time gives you games where before the game you go, there is no chance X team will beat Y team. Y team's on a roll. They're undefeated. They're one of the they're Super Bowl favorites. There's no chance this dysfunctional backup quarterback team could win this game. No chance. A rookie QB, no chance. And then they do win. They do get upset. And it happens all the time. And yet, we are not surprised by it. That's I just used a double negative there. But you know what I mean? Like, we still go, wow, that's amazing. Like, you would think after years and years and years, we would go, you know what? I'm not even making predictions on this stuff anymore. No way. I don't know. Everything, any game could be a good game. Any game could be an upset game. There's hardly any real upsets in the NFL. But when it does, you go, wow, I can't believe C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans beat Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't believe the Dallas Cowboys, who scored 70 points in the first two games against the Jets and the Giants, went to Arizona and managed just 16 and lost by double digits. But yet it happens. It happens often, and it makes you go, it still doesn't make us go, yeah, I'm normal with that. We just still go, wow, that's pretty incredible. But that game, again, if you're the Cowboys, as Jason Cole pointed out in hour one, Trayvon Diggs being absent and now being out is not the reason they lost Arizona. They lost Arizona because Arizona was better than they were. They were more physical than they were, and Dak Prescott made mistakes. And that's really it. And they couldn't get they could not find a rhythm, and they scored one touchdown. And that was all it. That was it. They could not get in the end zone except on one drive. And listen, Arizona, think about this now. Okay, this was a team that was projected to be the worst. They're in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, and they probably still will be. But they did have a big lead against the Giants at halftime before coughing that away last week, and then they beat the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe they're a tougher out, albeit probably more outs than wins, than we may be projecting. But that's a testament to this league. But quarterbacks, man, it is getting to a point where quarterbacks are out either for good, like Aaron Rodgers, or hurt in a particular game, or a concussed like Anthony Richardson. But I mean, go through the list. Joe Burrow may not play tonight,
and I said we don't think he should.
No, I don't think he should.
I mean, that's a big thing, because obviously, you know, he's going to play probably. Yeah. We're like sitting there. I mean, does he have to be restrained? Does he have to be tackled? As much as we don't want to see whoever the backup is come into the game, he probably needs to have the backup come into the game.
Did you see Justin Fields when he was running near the goal line and he got hit and he went up in the air? He went up in the air and they hit him in the legs?
No.
Like the Bears don't care anymore.
No, they don't.
They're like, yeah, go run and you know what? Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
What do you mean, do whatever? Yeah, if you want to be out, if you want to run out of bounds and save yourself, fine. If you'd rather run in the middle of the field and have two guys sandwich crush you at the knees, we're fine with that too. Do whatever you want. We don't care.
Just have fun.
Yeah. Just go out there and do whatever you want. We're getting killed, and you want to go make a play. I'm God. Yeah. All right, so Philip on Twitter has got the answer to my question for a possible breakup song for Taylor Swift when this actually occurs, and she can throw in Pat Freiermuth. So before I said, look, Pat Freiermuth is a tight end, and if she were to write a song about breaking up with Travis Kelce, she could throw in Pat Freiermuth. There's the lyrics. I'm sitting here fighting the truth. I traded you in for a guy named Freiermuth. Less wins will bring more pain. I may end up with Devin Achane.
Wow.
But it's you know, it works. Philip, I love the Freiermuth part. Yeah.
But Philip, who's
I don't
Devin
want him
Achane?
With
who's,
I don't want him with Devin Achane.
Who's Devon Achane?
Yeah, Devon Achane. I want Freiermuth to be her love interest.
But I don't even know that other guy. Did he do anything recently? Yeah.
Golly, that guy was... If you're going to let me score, I'm just going to score, kids. It's like he's looking around for the other Broncos to chase him.
I don't really
want to go 70, but you leave me no choice.
I mean,
end zone.
A couple of times he got through the line and like turned around and said, wait, that was too easy.
Let me go back in the other direction. Let me start all over again.
It's like playing Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, where you used to run all the way down, dot score, run all the way back to the other end zone, run all the way back. I think that was the Dolphins on Saturday.
Tease your friends that you had, they couldn't catch you in a video game. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I know you care about this, but you brought up Taylor. Bill Belichick was actually asked about that today.
He was on the Greg Hill Show on WEN.
Yeah, did you see his response?
Yeah. He said he has a lot of great catches in his career. This might be the best one. Well done, Bill Belichick.
You know what? It just brings me to this thought. Is this is he in his last couple seasons here? Is
Belichick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting close.
Because in the past, he would have been, I don't know about any Taylor
when he was
Spears.
Fighting for two. Yeah. When he was fighting for Super Bowls. No, I'm not kidding. It's a great point. He was fighting for Super Bowls. They would have said, Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift. What do you think about that? Taylor who?
Taylor Spears. I know nothing about
Taylor
her.
Taylor Spears. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You don't know Taylor Swift?
Is that Christina Swift? Is that you're talking about? Yeah, she had that one song, Christina Swift song. Yeah.
Nancy Sinatra? Is that what we're talking about? Who are we talking about here? Yeah. Because remember he did that stupid thing
Facebook.
Where he's like Facebook,
Snap,
Face Chat, Instabook. Yeah, remember that?
Snapchat.
That nonsense?
I'm not on Snapbook or whatever.
I'm not on Snapbook or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Like, you don't know this? You want to be football guy and pretend you have no idea what the social media thing is when you know all of your players are on it and you monitor your players all the time?
So
I understand you wouldn't use it. I get that. Older people didn't want to use it, but more older people are using it all the time now.
Yeah, I know.
They
love
it.
Because we've caught up to them.
Listen, I know. I'm telling you.
We're the older people.
We're the older people. But I have aunts and uncles who comment on everything I post all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
No, they got nothing else to do.
They got nothing else
to
do.
But I know nothing about Snapchat.
Right.
My son is on Snapchat all the time. And I'm like, what do you do on there?
That's right.
He's just like taking pictures of himself, writing people, commenting.
All
right.
But no, thank you for the Pat Freiermuth line, though, Philip. That's well done. I'm retweeting that because that's very good.
But that's why I brought that up too about Bill Belichick. Is this it for him? Did he finally brush that football guy bravado off of him? Going, you know what? I'm gonna just sit back and enjoy it. It's probably my last year. Could be my last 2 years. Just whatever.
Wasn't he at the Taylor Swift concert?
Yes,
though?
He went there. He went
and
to
he,
Taylor
it
Swift
was
concert.
In the rain, and he actually said she did a great job.
He was impressed because she performed in the torrential downpour the entire time. Did not stop.
So there was a quote from Belichick about the concert.
Uh-huh.
So maybe Greg Hill thought, you know what? I'm asking him because he knows who she is. He can't play the game with me.
And obviously he knows who Travis Kelce is.
Right. Of course he knows that.
He's been devising defenses against him for years.
So if he's like, all right, you know what? I know who I know he knows who she is. I definitely know he knows who Travis Kelce is. I'm going to ask him and see what he says. Good for him. That's a good question. Good for him. But hey, everybody, we're now merging into the two worlds. The Swifties are coming.
They're
going to start invading our Super Bowl and invading all of our fun things we like.
The Swifties are all now Chiefs fans. I mean,
they're all.
Kelce jerseys are flying off the shelf now, right?
Exactly. So when you hear a young girl in your neighborhood say, and didn't the Kansas City Chiefs win all the Super Bowls? Just groan and close your eyes and don't get involved. Just stay away.
Just let them live in there.
Just nod your head.
No. Smile and wave, boys. Just smile
and
wave.
Smile and wave. If your little daughter comes up to you and goes, Daddy, did the Chiefs win all? Just go, you know what, honey? Yes, they did. Like when they come, are dinosaurs real? Yep, they are. They're real. They're around. Instead of explaining how they all died and it's sad, just let them believe what they believe. Let the Swifties invade our world for a bit. Well done, Travis Kelce. Thanks. The more I'm thinking about this, thanks. You took your shot and you won.
Yeah.
Now I got to pay the price.
Belichick is right. I mean, it's probably the greatest catch you've ever had.
Exactly. And there was a show called Catching Kelce where women were vying for the love and attention of a tight end in the NFL.
Hey, you know what? You know what the funny thing is? We know about both of these people. We know their entire love life.
Yeah.
Taylor is saying it in songs, you know, her opinion. And Kelce had a TV show about his love life.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not hiding anything.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now she's going to be around. It's going to be annoying.
She's going to be at the next game?
Believe me, Patriot fans were getting kind of sick of Giselle. If Taylor Swift says, well, he can't catch it too or something. Well, he can't throw it to himself. Then we're gonna have more fun.